they'll go twice as far. Okay, we'll call to order the conference committee on House Bill 2281. Our purpose today is very limited. We'll not take any testimony. We will not even take under consideration any amendments today. I will just ask with the concurrence of our good friend in the Senate, Paul, to give us a review of what the Senate amendments did to this bill. And then I've asked him to also present to us just very briefly some of the revenue impacts of some of the options that we know are being considered in other discussions about this bill and where we might go with it. But again, nothing will be under consideration today. Paul?
Okay. Mr. Chair, the House Bill 2281B is in your packet, and that includes the Senate amendments. And the only change that the Senate put into the bill was to exempt telecommunication and utility taxpayers that are within that industry definition are allowed to use the apportionment formula, either the current double-weighted sales factor or to go to the 100% sales factor, which the bill does on July 1 of 2003. So, in other words, they have an option for doing that. We estimated the revenue impact of that was about $2.9 million. So there was an increase of $2.9 million in the revenue impact. The other thing I might add, as well, is we reduced the revenue impact from the original House Bill 2281 because we had a new revenue forecast that had a considerably lower corporate income tax forecast in it. And that had the effect of reducing the revenue impact estimate by about 10% because we tie it directly to the corporate income tax forecast. So that was the other change that was done on the Senate side, and that was just to have it connect to the most current forecast. In terms of the options available...
Paul, before we get to that, you were mentioning there was some question about definitions even in the Senate amendments. Just to raise that so we mark that
yes.
for future consideration.
Mr. Chair, the definitions that were used here that Dexter and I used in drafting this amendment, I took them out of the North American Industrial Classification System, which is the successor to the Standard Industrial Classification. So that's where those came from. I did talk a little bit with... taxpayers in the telecommunication industry who thought there may be an alternative that they would be more comfortable with in legal terms. So that's something to consider when you look at this again, a definition that would be tighter. Again, these are fit with that classification, so we felt very comfortable with our revenue impact, but there may be some other issues to consider. The other pieces in your packet are the something you've seen before is a breakdown by industry of the 1998 corporate returns, and I reprinted that for you just to give you a sense of where that revenue impact came from. The communication and utility sector, you'll notice about halfway down, and the 98 returns. There were 199 taxpayers that did have a reduction in their tax burden of $0.9 million as a total as a result of going to a single weight. But there were, however, $2.6 million in increased revenue on 275 returns because they had a higher sales factor. So these are producers that have a high sales factor in Oregon relative to the property and payroll factors. So on net, there was a $1.7 million revenue increase that resulted from the transportation, communication, and utility sector. What I did in the revenue impact was pull out transportation and just focus on communication and utilities and then blow up those numbers to 2003, and that's where you get the $2.9 million revenue impact. The other side of the sheet there looks at the sales factor apportionment options. We do have some amendments, but none of those, the sponsors, we're not ready to make those public at this time. So what I've done is kind of construct my own possible phase-ins. and these are not sponsored by anyone. You can see the difference there in terms of the revenue impact from the Senate versus the House version. That's the $2.9 million from exempting communication and utilities. If you were to go to an 80% factor, an 80-10-10, where you'd have 10% on property and payroll, on 7103, and then go to a single sales on 7105, you can see that the revenue impact would be minus $62.9 million in 0305, and then it bounces up to the Senate version in 0507. Mm-hmm. I've included the utilities and communication exemption in all of these options. Of course, that will be another thing you could pull out to reduce that 0305 by $2.9 million. You can see I've got 7193 there. That should be 7103 on the 75%. And then 90% on 7105, that would reduce revenue by $52.1 million in 0305 and then by $86 million in 0507.
Well, it worries me when you get that number wrong and a date. If that was in the revenue, it would be $10 million off.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, the sad fact is that at a certain age, people begin to lose entire decades.
Yes, the 93 was a very good year. The last option is the 60% on 7103 and then 80% on 7105. So you'd go from 50 to 60% for the two-year period, and that's $21.7 million. And then 0507 is about $66 million. What I've done in terms of the feedback effects, OTIM produces the revenue feedback effects on a proportional basis. So I just have a spreadsheet set up where I put in the feedback effect, so all of these do have some adjustment for feedback effects.
I assume the feedback, the feedback tracks with the revenue impact.
Question on the
Representative Senator Friuli, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the my understanding is that this factor of reduction really doesn't begin to produce good effect until about 80% reduction. So the suite of options that were just for the points of discussion begin at 80%, go to 100% in the first example, 75 to 90, 60 to 80. There is a question of efficiency mm-hmm. and viability for any of these models. And I just guess the point of that comment is to put it on the record that it's my opinion that this reduction doesn't become effective in producing the feedback loops and the best effects until we have at least 80%.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can reduce this to the point where you don't have any effect, and then what have you accomplished? Senator Byer.
Well, I'm not sure I'm disagreeing with Senator Early, but I think where you have an effect is when you have predictability of where you're going to end at in a short period of time, not necessarily where you start at. Although starting at 60% probably is not worth doing.
Well, I think, going back to Senator Ferriola's comment, I think probably 60 and going to 80 would probably not instill a lot of
good incentive.
Yeah. You got to get to 90 or doesn't mm-hmm.
Right. This is based on the assumption that this is linear. Mm-hmm. Simplifying assumption that may or may not be the truth, but could very well be. There's a threshold there where you begin to see a much bigger impact.
Any other questions on these? We will have some discussions about this and probably be meeting again next week, at which time we'll take up we'll bring in some testimony, invite testimony. We'll be in work session. Of course, we'll give everybody a chance to weigh in on the bill as to be engrossed and any amendments that may come forward. This will probably take more than one more meeting, I would expect, but we'll see. Anybody else on the committee have any comments? That just kind of lays out what some of our options are. And with that, I thank you, and we will be adjourned.
district.
No.
So, by, so you're affirmatively.
Okay.
Who's Reed?
Okay.
Sales factors limited to.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Most? No, some.
There's like four states of 5 to 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Will not last that much longer.
Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to make sure you knew that.